I am now going to translate Mikko Fager's sermon. My name is Antti Roikol. In the triumph of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I will read the word of God that has been written before from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 12th chapter. Beginning from the first verse, until the 8th, and the words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. In Jesus' name. We heard the epistle of Paul to the Romans. From this letter to the Romans, here in the preamble to the letter, it is said that it would be good if everyone, every person, would read this letter to the Romans. Not just so, that they, for example, would know it by memory, from word by word, but would also practice and live every day according to it, as according to everyday bread. But as we know, we are not able to do this. But it says here, the more you read of it, the more beautiful it becomes. When this portion of the Word of God, I was thinking of this for my text, and now that I have read it, we know that the summer services are heard very broadly through the technology of today. And for this reason, there are many different listeners. Such ones who are used to, from childhood, going to services and have heard much of the God's word. There might be such listeners for whom this word of God and revelation is not very familiar. For this reason, I thought that it would be good reason for a few words to look backward at Paul's life, how Paul is yet a writer and an advisor here in this text word which we have read. Paul was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. He was very ambitious, and he as if flowed. He as if exude anger towards the children of God. He was lawless with the law. He was studied at the feet of Gamaliel and learning at the master. And so he was in the law, lawless, it is said. Then when God took a hold of how matters went forward, then the life of Saul of Tarsus, life had a turning point. Remember how there on the road to Damascus, Saul was struck with blindness. And after many different happenings, he received the grace of repentance. When Ananias, after the laying on of the hands, preached to him that precious gospel word. Here in the beginning of the 12th chapter, it was said in this way, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." This kind of a change has been affected by this, that Saul of Tarsus had received the grace of repentance. He had been able to believe his own sins forgiven. Here in this introduction to the 12th chapter, it says in this way, that the apostle is advising again believers to be communally together in a new life for God. And this word again made me think of this, that truly we are again in summer services. The year has gone quickly, and we have been in many smaller services, been at the listening to the gospel word. But that word again shows this, that we need again and again those advice, teaching, and rebuking words. For this reason, it is good for us to gather here around the Word of God. When this morning I was driving the road number 8 here to this service area, and this service area was as if suddenly appearing before my eyes. It was truly a great view, and a thankful mind was filled with this, that the children of God, the nation of God, had yet gathered again together. When here, working at the volunteer, working together, many, even outward people on the outside, asked, will these fields truly become all full? It was fun to answer that. So we wish, and this is our prayer. When the apostle here advises believers, very lovingly, through the mercies, heartful mercies of God, that he answers that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul talks there in the same book of Romans a little bit earlier, that in this way, do not give your members to be let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey lust. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yet if we return for a little time to the life of Paul, and how he from one who was persecuting the believers to one who was a believer. It is no miracle that here in his epistle he says in this way, he wonders and marvels at the grace of God and says in this way that, oh, the depth of riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For you, dear brothers and sisters, it may be many of these kinds of experiences, how and now this time we can marvel at the grace of God, how he has helped here on this narrow way. When here we spoke of the weapons of warfare, we know that God has given us, his children, also these weapons of warfare. But these weapons are not weapons of the flesh, rather they are of the Spirit. In the letter to the Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, Paul writes, and last, my dear brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power. put upon you all the weapons of God, that you would stand against the evil day. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the lords of this world. And then Paul says here, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against every matter, and you'd be steadfast in every matter. And this continues. And Paul says that our feet would be shod with the gospel of peace. To preach the gospel of peace, we have the shield of faith. We have the hope of salvation as a helmet, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus himself, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, after fasting for 40 days, he was tempted of the enemy of souls. He gave to us an example of this, that we were able, with the Word of God, to answer these attacks of the enemy of souls exactly the same way as Jesus did, by saying, testifying that so it is written before, that it is written. For that reason, the Word of God is also important, that we would read it and we would listen to it, so that we would know also how to answer. There it is said, it is spoken of the evil day, that then we would be able to stand or to reply. We live in such a time, which is in many ways a good time. But in that way, it is an evil time, that the enemy of souls does his work very powerfully, that he would make one go astray, a child of God, off this narrow way. For this reason, Paul here advises in this way, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John, of that same matter in his first epistle, he says that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If one would love the world, in him is the love of the Father is not in him. In the services of today, we've already been able to listen how in the revelation of the Bible there is throughout this dividing. So there is in this matter, we speak of that world that God has created. And we can love that world. We can protect it. Sometimes that protection may even go so far as to we are not with cannot join in it with a good conscience, a clean conscience. But yet, there is another, that other world, this world. It is the world of the enemy of souls, where there is, as the Word of God tells us, there's a lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and much else that is not acceptable for a child of God. That we would wish to be without, or to go away from. And Paul, in his own time, wrote about that we would not be conform ourselves after the form of this world. There comes to mind my own experience when I was studying, after I had completed my studies, and I was applying for my first place of work, and I had already made it to the interview. Then there, at the end, there came such a matter forth that part of my duties would be included in planning such happenings or situations where alcohol would be served. For to that I could not answer in any other way but that it is not acceptable for me. And they asked that is it, what are the reasons for this? And I said that I have such a belief that I do not myself enjoy or serve to others. There became a silent moment, and quietness descended upon that interview. At that point, I thought that maybe it would be better to say that this position is not for me. And respectably, I shook the hands of the interviewers and I left. And this, for this reason, that in our work lives, we are in many different situations. And you, dear youth, who are looking or seeking for work, and you are placed in such situations, be courageous in such a way that confess your faith there, as it is said there, with quietness and with meekness and fear. God has riches to bless even that correct workplace, as it also occurred for me, and I have been able to have a long term of employment. There in the beginning hymn we sang in this way, that from the Heavenly Father, our needs are not lost or hidden. He surely knows that what we need. And our text continues here in this way. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dwelt to every man the measure of faith. When the apostle writes these and speaks of this grace, we can understand this, that Paul confesses this, that he has placed the foundation on a lasting foundation. And he says here that we would think, we would not think more highly than we ought, or soberly. Sometimes we hear such arguments that we, children of God, think that we are better than others. This thought is a strange one, because I could say that here, Tupori has not gathered some special throng. Rather, here has gathered sinful people. We, children of God, are redeemed, sinners that have been redeemed or atoned. And here, when God wishes through His Word to call into His kingdom. And I would think in this way, that I would wish to approach you who have come here to these summer services to look and to listen. You may feel that this sermon is strange to your ears. But when Paul spoke in Athens, there, in that time, people were such that they wished always to hear something new and miraculous. And when Paul preached to them the gospel, then they said that they used such a word that what is this? A speaker of empty things wishing to tell them of a new God. But in that, pertaining to this in the Acts of the Apostles, we can also read of this, how a few yet believed. When we preach and sow the Word of God, it is good for us to remember that we are just sowers, and God gives the increase. How secure it is, even today, for us children of God, to believe. When Paul to the Philippians, in this way, that yet, my beloved, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, that I write to you in one way, I am not angered of this. It will make you to be stronger. So it is secure for us that we have here the same spirit and the same understanding. When here our text continues, of how we have many members in one body and not all members have the same office. Paul here takes an example. As an example, the human body, but then says, yet we are many in one body in Christ. And everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proposition of faith, proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. So we have different duties here, even in the kingdom of God. And here we spoke of teaching and of ministry and advising. But in the Acts of the Apostles, we are as if reminded that we would take heed of ourselves and of the whole flock on who the Holy Spirit has made you bishops of all, to shepherd the congregation of God, which he has atoned for with his own blood. And then it here says of these words of exhortation or teaching that we would take heed of them. And Peter says that if one would speak, let him speak as God's word. We do not wish to speak our own, rather the word of words of God, that which the Holy Spirit opens and enlightens unto us. And so, truly, there is still one more important thing here in the end. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Is it not so that we have the mind of Christ, that not one person would be go into damnation? Rather, they would have for their own portion the grace of repentance and be able to enter into the kingdom of God, to experience that joy, that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the being of the kingdom of God, or the essence of the kingdom of God. So Paul, hear these words of advice, speaks to the children of God of this day, and to all. We are asked for obedience, so that we could humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God. And this faith or believing, I know that it is sometimes difficult, sometimes it is easier. But we do not want, dear brothers and sisters, to make believing harder than what it is. The example of a small child is a good example, that we would humble ourselves to the place of a small child, even at this moment. My brother, dear brother and sister, you can uplift your heart to believe. All sins, doubts, and temptations forgiven. In Jesus' name, in precious blood which flowed upon the ground, the preacher is preaching the gospel to those in the congregation. So you can remain believing. And there, those who are listening online or at other forms of media, there I know there are many who have not been able to make it here. Be of secure mind. Believe. Your own sins forgiven. I would like to ask that, can I remain believing together with you? So I would wish to believe. When I looked at that service sign where those birds are flying. Free birds of heaven. So we can remain simply and securely believing as little boys once looked out the kitchen window when the birds were flying onto the bird feeder. And they said, so we also will fly there in heaven. So we will remain in the care and grace of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.